السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We begin today's show by praising Allah. Bismillah, alhamdulillah. إن الحمد لله نحمد ونستعين ونستغفر ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. And we begin by praising Allah and sending blessings upon His chosen messenger, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ahlan wa sahlan, welcome to the Dhikrayat show, where we talk about how to reclaim your magic and how to make the right choices to create a life that you love. Subhanallah. This is a Dhikrayat, it's general reminders for the believers. Alhamdulillah, we all know a lot. Alhamdulillah, ilm is on tap. We live in a world today where we can have access to knowledge at any given time, but I think what most importantly needs to be stressed upon is to remind each other to do good and remind each other to stay away from bad, and inshallah to make amal is so important. Last week's show we spoke about how to raise children as citizens of the world, and I think that's such a intense topic that I decided to do a continuation from last week's show, and I'd like to continue on that same topic of how to raise children, but speaking about it from an Islamic perspective with regards to tarbiyah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. So tarbiyah refers to, if we think about tarbiyah, it's the systematic development and training of our children in the light of Islamic teachings. What does this actually mean? It's a continuous and comprehensive process of developing all aspects of our children's character and personality, for example, their spiritual, intellectual, moral, social, as well as physical aspects. Looking at Islam being a way of life, subhanAllah, we are so fortunate being Muslims, you know, being raised in a holistic environment. So it's very important to raise our children in an environment of love, you know, creating this environment in your home. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissed and hugged his children. Children should feel loved. They need a lot of good touches and tactile stimulation. We also know that a lot of sociopathic behavior is because of a result of their maltreatment or by simply abusing children. So it's very important to have a lot of love in the house. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, discipline or raise your children with three characteristics or qualities. Number one, to love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to love his family, and most importantly, also the recitation of the Quran. So those three things, to love the Prophet, to love his family, and number three, the recitation of the Quran. Now you can do this in different ways. One of them is reminding them of the blessings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because so much in your life is from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Telling them about the stories of the Prophet, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as the Anbiya alayhi salam. There are numerous stories in the Holy Quran depicting the lives of the various prophets and the lessons that we take from their lives, because so much in our life is from, you know, we can relate to the lives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as the other Anbiya alayhi salam. We need to also tell our children about the stories of the prophets, you know, teach them the seerah and inculcate good and include the sunnah as your lifestyle. You know what we really underestimate is the power of our children, and we take their capacity to understand things. We underestimate this. Children are amazing, and they are very extremely spiritual. Subhanallah, I always use the example of Alime Arwa. Our souls have been created all at the same time. So if a child comes into this world, sometimes they have more wisdom than the adults around them. Subhanallah. So a child at 3 or 4 or 5 or 15 might have the hikmah and the wisdom of a person that's maybe chronological age of 60 or 70. But, you know, the souls are old. Subhanallah. Allah gives us hidayat different times in our lives, and sometimes those children are just blessed. And this is what we as parents need to nurture in our children. We as mothers especially really need to try and embody the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that our children can emulate us, because we need to be the best role models to them. Your children are one of the greatest sources of your own spiritual development. SubhanAllah, many of us find Allah through this effort of being good mothers. SubhanAllah. So, you know, many a times I speak to many women in the community, and a lot of times they'll say, I'm just a mother, I just stay at home, I'm just raising my children. But raising your children as Muslims in today's world is no easy feat. And this is the best work that you will ever do. And I'm going to call it work because that's exactly what it is. We are constantly dealing with negative portrayals of Muslims in the media, and sometimes even within our own communities. So we are constantly having to, you know, demyth or debunk these theories or these labels that have been put on us within the media framework. But how can we overcome these challenges and use them as opportunities to truly teach children to love Islam and pride themselves for their Muslim identity? This is something that we also need to embrace as Muslimas. You know, this being totally proud of who we are, the way Allah has created us, how Allah commands us to do various things, you know, for example, the hijab, and being proud, Muslimas, and wearing your hijab with pride in terms of this is a commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how can you as a mother foster and help empower the child's identity, Muslim, you know, the Muslim identity in your child? So I find it really interesting that we need to study and be qualified to do any job in the world. But when it comes to parenting, and more specifically motherhood, we just have to do it one way or another, one way or the other, you know. When you actually become a parent, there's so much to think about. The really amazing thing about ladies and mothers that I've come across these days is that they are constantly looking to be informed. They are looking to be educated. They really want to know what's the best choices for them as mothers, for them as believers, and for their children. Alhamdulillah. I have four children, you know, from ages of 21 to 13. So I have good experience, and each one go through their different stages of development as well as they complete their, you know, they're unique in their way. But despite being raised in the same environment or the same nurturing, each one of them are so unique and so individual. And so, yes, motherhood can be overwhelming at times. And I think to start with, we want to help our children build a good Muslim identity. This seems to be a great concern for parents raising kids in today's climate, especially with all the negative hype in the media. So there's a lot of pressure on us as parents and especially as mothers. We want to raise children to be kind and caring individuals who assist in community and excel in all areas, whether it may be physical, social, intellectual, or spiritual for that matter. We want to create a multifaceted, multi-dynamic human being. It's an incredible challenge. So what do you do? Where do you begin? How do you instill the sunnah in your child's life? So I'd love to hear from all the mothers out there. Give us a call. The number to call is 011-854-1548. So just carrying on from last week's topic, we were speaking about how to raise children as citizens of the world. You know, children, they must wonder whether the leaders of the nations are capable of telling them the truth, or their parents have the ability to teach them how to create a world where peace, for example, liberty, justice, and equity, you know, these are just concepts that we're trying to inculcate in society as a norm. So when we think about racism, greed, religious hatred, these are fanning the fires of war, and they are very alive in, you know, turning on the radio, on the pages of the newspaper, magazines, any kind of social media. This is what our children are seeing. They're seeing the maiming and killing of innocent people around the world. And we also exposed to this. It's become a daily routine. And, you know, this is something that we as adults need to... It's such a difficult topic to speak about, because will the children be able to transcend ethnic and religious hatred and the lust for power and wealth to foster a global civic society based on the principles of the Sunnah? And this is a great challenge for us as parents today, raising children in today's climate. And it will depend on what and how we teach or how we nurture our children And this, the future depends on this very thing, on raising the future generation to be a nation that cares, a nation that is caring, a nation that is loving. These days, to meet their own needs, parents increasingly rely on daycare centers. Unfortunately, you know, we rely on babysitters, we rely on tutors, educators, healthcare providers, we rely on ulama to teach our children. And this is great. And this is what we refer to as ta'lim, because this is the education of our children. But tarbiyah is something different. Tarbiyah can never be outsourced. Ta'lim, education, can be outsourced. But when it comes to tarbiyah, this is something that we as mothers and fathers need to instill, the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in our children. A wise person once told me that the greatest tarbiyah you'll ever do for your child is to go out in khuruj fi sabilillah, to go out in the path of Allah. Because we're raising children in such selfish environments where it's just me, my children, and my immediate family. Unfortunately, we've moved away from the extended families of the past, and we're moving into nuclear family systems where it's just the mother, the father, and the children. And which has its privileges and which has its, you know, the pros. But one of the cons of raising children in this kind of environment, children grow up to be entitled, with a sense of entitlement. They grow up to be spoiled. They grow up with this sense that the world owes them. And one of the greatest things with regards to tarbiyah and upbringing of your children is to go out in the path of Allah. This child will understand that my mother and my father love Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than they love me. And although the sounds might sound scary to a child, but it's the best lesson that you will ever teach your child. The love for Allah surpasses all things, and the love for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam second to Allah, subhanallah. So we need to question ourselves and think as parents, as mothers, how much are we doing in the service of deen? How much are we doing in the path of Allah? Because children learn by emulating us. They learn by watching us, not by the things that we are saying. And by doing more in the path of Allah, by doing more in your quest to find Allah, to search for Allah, then inshallah this will also then rub off onto your children. So we must nurture and protect the family as a primary unit of social systems and the natural environment for maximizing children's physical, psychological, and moral growth. It's extremely important that we create this environment for our children to live in, where they feel secured, they feel loved, they feel cared for. And as we move into the postmodern world of parenting, we must find fundamental universal principles to serve as signposts for us and for our children. So, you know, I came across an ayah in the Quran, and one of it was, you know, I can't seem to, wait, let me just get that ayat. The Quran links worship of Allah with kindness to parents. Yes, I found the ayat, and the ayat goes something to this effect. Your sustainer has decreed that you worship none but him, and that you show kindness to your parents. And there's another ayat in the Quran in Surah 31, verse 14, and we have enjoined on the human being to be kind to his parents. Children must understand what it means to be a Muslim. It means first and foremost to believe in Allah, who is the creator and who is the sustainer of all people in the universe. And this is a question that, you know, children need to understand. The Quran tells us that Allah is a creation, you know, the Quran tells us that Allah's creation is just for just ends and not in idol support, meaning that humanity is fashioned in the best of molds and is created to serve Allah. This is our purpose. This is our prime objective of being created. And when we think of our purpose of why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, it's only to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So according to the Quranic teachings, the service of Allah cannot be separated from the service to humankind. Or in Islamic terms, believers in God must honor both their obligations to Allah and to His creation. So the Quranic ayat states, the fulfillment of one's duties to Allah and mankind constitutes righteousness. So these basic concepts are first put into practice in the home, among, you know, other extended families, our friends, schools, places of work, and the masajids, our communities, our countries at large, and finally in a global context. But this is where it starts. It involves parents in setting limits, for example, formulating rules, teaching children to take moral responsibility for their own behavior, and to be the vicegerents of Allah as they prepare to inherit the global culture now being promoted. So there are certainly no guarantees. But with these principles in mind, we as parents can expose the youth to basic global Islamic values and concepts. And these are extremely important. And we sometimes take it for granted, thinking children won't understand. But I think, obviously, age appropriately, we need to instill the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at a very, very young age. Children also should know their rights and responsibilities, which according to the Quran begin at home and continue throughout their life, encompassing local and global arenas. Children should understand the importance of volunteering, and it starts with volunteering at home. So helping out with chores, helping out in the community, helping neighbors, sharing their time with the elderly, visiting the sick, and sharing resources with others. This is extremely important with regards to our social responsibility. But like I said, it starts off at home, like simply just unpacking the dishwasher or picking up their laundry or doing their own laundry for that matter. So these are things that we need to inculcate into our children's lives. Children should learn to fit in with others. It means resolving conflicts with fair words, not with fights. And it also means listening to one another. So, for example, sibling rivalry, how to, you know, anger management, how to conflict management, how to, you know, keep the peace in the home, and then obviously extending this peace within their schools, within their environments, and then on a larger scale, globally speaking. And inshallah, we will be back after the break speaking more about the upbringing of children and raising children as citizens of the world.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan and welcome back to Al-Dhikrayat. I'm your host, Tasneem, taking you up until the 3 o'clock news. Today we're speaking about how to raise our children, the tarbiyah of children, and how to raise them as children of the global world and to make them citizens that are socially responsible. So alhamdulillah, in my many years as a family therapist, I've seen many well-intentioned parents mistakenly employing strategies that aren't meeting the emotional or the developmental needs of their children or families. But having said that, I've also observed an increasing number of parents who are, alhamdulillah, successfully mapping out new and healthier ways of raising children in today's times. And, you know, I've thought about these and, you know, over time, with the experience, I've actually noted there are a few things that make us successful parents, alhamdulillah, to contribute to the healthy development of our children. So I think, you know, most importantly, we need to know that children will act like children. Often parents forget that children learn by making mistakes, behaving immaturely. The magic happens when a supportive caregiver steps in to steer them in the right direction. Parents often get frustrated and impatient. We become annoyed with the whining and the back talk, when really this is how children are wired. The part of the brain responsible for reason, logic, and impulse is not fully developed until a person reaches their early 20s. And yes, early 20s. So immature behavior is normal for immature human beings with immature brains. And this is the scientific reality that helps us to be more patient and supportive in order to guide our children when they struggle, especially when they're having spiritual crises. For example, forcing a teenager to wear hijab. It's a very difficult situation if you haven't instilled this from a very young age and made it a way of life. Because it's taken you 30 or 40 years to get to your point where you understand the beauty and you love your hijab. But forcing it upon a 16-year-old that hasn't had the same wisdom and life experiences as you is a very different story. And I think this is why the Sharia and with regards to the Sunnah, I think we need to inculcate these good habits and these good practices and make it a way of life. So then it doesn't become a question of disobedience, inshallah.
a very important point. We need to set limits with respect, not with criticism. Due to the fact that our children, you know, need to learn literally everything about the world, and they learn that from us, they will require many limits throughout their day. Without proper limits in their environment, children will feel anxious and will be out of control. In fact, limits can be delivered in the form of criticism and shaming, or they can be communicated in a firm but respectful way. So think about how you would appreciate being spoken to if you, you know, while you're at work, and how would you go from there. So always put, you know, having empathy, empathic parenting is extremely important, and having empathy as a mother, as a parent, knowing the level that your child is on emotionally, physically, behaviorally, and being aware of their developmental stages. For example, have you ever questioned where your easygoing toddler disappeared to as they were suddenly screaming murder while getting dropped off at daycare? This is called separation anxiety, and there are literally hundreds of very normal, very healthy transitions children go through to become adults, and separation anxiety is one of them. So being aware of these puts their puzzling behaviors into context, and it increases the odds of reacting to them accurately and supportively. So we need to understand the developmental age of the child, the emotional age of the child, and correlate this with their chronological age in terms of what is expected at that developmental stage of a child's life. It's also very important to know your child's temperament and personality. We might have 3 or 4 children, but each one of them is very unique and very individual. And it seems pretty obvious, but if we were in tune with the characteristics that make our children unique, we will have a better understanding of when they may need additional support and when or where they will thrive. So once you actually know the basics of what makes your child tick, many important areas become much easier to navigate, such as, for example, pinpointing the best environment for homework, or understanding why your daughter needs to come home, you know, early from school if she's having a period cramp at that, you know, on that particular day. So also knowing your child's moods, knowing your child's temperaments, knowing what your child is going through at that particular point in her life or his life makes parenting way easier. Giving your child plenty of unstructured playtime. Unless you studied play therapy in school, most adults will never fully understand and appreciate the power of play. Play is therapy. Play is how kids learn all the things and develop all the things that make them to be holistic human beings. This means leaving time each day for, you know, straight up, unstructured, kid-controlled exploration of the world kind of play. Children need to play. It's very, very important. Nowadays, we overscheduled our children from one event to the next event. When do they actually have time to play? And playing is so, so important for their development, for their psychological development, their physical development, their fine motor skill development. This is something that we need to have a set out time in their hectic schedules to allow them for unstructured play. Another important thing is we need to know when to talk and when to listen. Especially as mothers, we always have to butt in. We always, you know, not listening to our children. Children learn to be pretty good problem solvers if we just let them be. Because we love the life out of them and we want them to succeed, it's hard not to jump in and try and solve problems for them by virtue of maybe a lecture or criticism. But this is not constructive. If parents more often held their tongues and waited it out, they'd actually be shocked at how often their children can successfully reach their own conclusions. And it's fascinating to see this unfold before your eyes, because they become our teachers, subhanAllah. And being heard is powerfully therapeutic. It allows us to think things through and reach a solution on our own. Children want and need to be heard, and they need to feel understood, just like the rest of us. Most importantly, children also have an identity outside. Many of us often claim that our children are our world, and this is certainly true in our hearts in terms of daily life. However, parents need to have more. We need to nurture the friendships, passions, and hobbies that make us who we are as individuals. So outside our identity as mothers, we need to find things that also feed our soul, that keep us happy. And doing this can feel like a battle as our, you know, protective anxieties try to convince us that our children can't be without us and also that we can't be without them. But we can be and need to be in order to stay sane, in order to avoid saddling our kids with the tasks of meeting all of our unmet emotional needs. So understanding that we also need time away from our children, we have an identity outside of our children, and outside motherhood we have an identity, essentially to ask ourselves, who are we? And inshallah we will be discussing more of that after the break.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome back to Adhikrayat. Today we're speaking about the upbringing of our children and how we as mothers need to retain our identity and who are we. So I think sit down, reflect on what I'm saying and ask yourself this question, who am I really? Because we're trying to raise the future ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're trying to raise da'is. We're trying to raise the future leaders of tomorrow. And in doing so, are we losing ourselves? So this is something we need to, you know, to discover, rediscover. We need to talk about what's good for one family might not necessarily be good for another. We need to, so for example, if you forget to trim their nails, or, you know, we give them microwave food, does that make you a bad mom? How does social media contribute to your feeling negative about yourself or about your children? For example, people putting up pictures of fancy meals that they've prepped for their kids, or outings, or for lunch boxes. How does that make you feel? What, in your opinion, makes a person a good mother? And there's different dynamics when you think about parenting today. We have single mothers, we have working mothers, we have stay-at-home mothers, and each mother's situation is different, and no one mother is better. So how can we be the best mothers that we can possibly be? And why is it important to invest time in ourselves as mothers, taking time out, finding motherhood without losing ourselves? I think that's what I would like to focus in the next 10 to 15 minutes. You know, and I started thinking about the things that make us mums and the very unique qualities we must possess to be great mothers. And as we know, life changes a lot when we have children, and we change essentially. Yet we are still the same person. And it's a fascinating and beautiful journey we take to motherhood, to parenthood. And along the way we learn so much, not just about our children, but most importantly about ourselves. But not losing ourselves in all of that. So really question yourself, sitting down today, contemplating, introspecting and asking yourself, who am I? Let me tell you who you are. And let me remind myself who I am, because this is a Dhikrayat, this is the show where we remind each other of how to be the best that we can be, that we can possibly be. Each one of us, you are a divinely inspired being brought into this world to fulfill Allah's desires. And in this world, do what Allah commands so that in the hereafter you can do as you desire in Jannah. So this dunya is about Allah's desires, and in Jannah it's about your desires. And we thank Allah for blessing us, being in a state of gratitude, thanking Allah for blessing us with the opportunity as spiritual beings to have a physical experience. Subhanallah. And I think most importantly, to touch base and always remember that we are just here for a temporary period, and this is our physical experience, but essentially we are spiritual beings. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in a beautiful hadith something to the effect that I leave for you two things which will never lead you astray. And this is the Quran and my Sunnah. So the Quran and Sunnah are instruments to understanding ourselves, to understanding yourself. The laws it reveals of nature or the universe or the human destiny in this life and the hereafter provide a clear message to those who are ready to receive Allah's hidayah. So we need to read, we need to reflect and ponder our responsibilities to develop and discover our talents and true potential and become totally self-aware. So self-mastery and consistent care of the mind, body and soul are essential to unearth our higher selves and to live our dreams. If we can't care for ourselves, how can we possibly care
for the human beings that Allah has entrusted upon us. If we don't feel good, how can we do good? We can't love one another if we don't love ourselves. And always remember self-care and boundaries when interacting with other people, even if it may be your children or your spouse. It's good to serve others, but not so much where we end up sacrificing ourselves. And sometimes we as mothers, as women, you know, we tend to slip into being people pleasers. So alhamdulillah, we're all about serving Allah's creation. Allah has given us compassion, He's given us rahim, He's given us these qualities of, you know, empathy and sympathy, but never to the point where we become sacrificial lambs. It's good to serve others, but not so much that we end up sacrificing ourselves. We need to have boundaries. We need to, you know, it's important to remember to take care of ourselves, because just like how they are an amanat, you are responsible for your own happiness. This is your amanat, your health, your well-being, your mental state, your physical being. All of this Allah has given to you within a stipulated amount of time. And in that time, Allah wants to see what are you doing with those gifts that He has given you. So you are responsible for your happiness. In fact, you create it. You attract it. You manifest it. You are the architect of your reality. You choose your thoughts, you choose your perceptions, and you choose your reaction to external forces. Everything is within your control and within your choice. Don't ever, ever feel that you don't have a choice and you don't have power in a situation, because Allah has given you that. And this fear that we carry is only reserved for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This fear within us is never for insan. We only fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this love that we have is totally only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we love everything else for the pleasure of Allah, whether it be your child, whether it be your husband, your spouse, your parents, loving them for the pleasure of Allah, loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything and everything, and loving the Nabi of Allah second to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then loving everybody else for the pleasure of Allah, which is easier said than done. But really, between you and yourself, decide who you love more. And this answer only you know. And it's between you and Allah. But making Allah your number one priority, your number one love. Falling in love with your Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Falling in love with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Man arafa nafsahu arafa rabbahu. That they who know themselves, truly they know their Lord. So understanding who you are, loving yourself. You know, you are, like I said, you are responsible for your own happiness. You create it, you attract it, you manifest it. You are the architect of your reality. You choose your thoughts. Yes, you do. You really choose your own thoughts. Your thoughts are your business. It's in your control. You choose your perceptions and you choose your reaction. And all of this that I just mentioned is your business. It's in your control. We sometimes give our power away. If somebody is making you angry, you've given them too much of power. You possess all the tools needed to expand your awareness, to orchestrate the evolution of your consciousness, to choose happiness, to choose love. You are powerful. You are powerful enough to create the life that you deserve, and you will vibrate love and positive vibes wherever you go, because once you find who you are, and once you find your purpose and meaning in life, then it's very difficult for you not to live without purpose. So I think just finding that purpose will give you meaning, and once you have meaning, then life becomes much more easier to go through, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala breathed of His power into humankind because it was His will to place His vicegerents in charge of this planet. The noble messenger, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told us in a beautiful hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left two things, and that is the Quran and the Sunnah. And in Surah Iqra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He taught man the use of the pen, He taught man that which he did not know, something to that effect. So let us allow our environment not to limit us by being, we need to be content with the way we live. If we are content with material blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is a virtue, this is a ni'mat, but also being content with our spiritual growth means we are wasting away our lives. So we must not allow the environment to limit our thinking, to grow spiritually. We have to keep pondering and thinking constantly about the wonders of Allah's creation. And we need to discover what we want, then pursue it. So to unleash Allah's power in oneself is what I'm talking about. This is the journey. We need to, you know, throughout the history of humanity, philosophers have been searching, psychologists have been searching for the meaning of life. And we know it's been stated in the Quran that insan and jinn has not been created except to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, I was a hidden treasure and I wanted to be found. The noble messenger of Allah, Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, may peace be upon him, said, greater is he that is in you, that he that is in this world. So basically our responsibility is to manage the affairs of this planet within the limits set out in the noble Quran and the prophetic sunnah. So for example, for us to excel and rise higher than other creation, we are the best of creation. We have to be in the constant touch with our source, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are small, we are weak creatures living amongst millions of other species. The earth is a small satellite of a mere star, of which there are millions in the greater space whose boundaries are only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for example, success and discovery in life starts from within. In Surah At-Tin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes the origin of man, and Allah says, we have created man in the best of molds. In Surah Al-Mu'min, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises the virtuous ones, and Allah said, whosoever works a righteous deed, whether male or female, and is truly committed to Allah, such will enter the paradise of bliss. Every human being has the force, the strength, the capacity within that, if unleashed, makes us different and extraordinary. So each one of us has special gifts and talents that set us apart, and I think this should be our homework from week to week, to look within ourselves and to find these special gifts and talents and then share it with the rest of the creation. And this is a sad tragedy, and it's a sad state of affairs, is that when we become oblivious to the fact that we are special, that we are unique, therefore merely living life without a goal or purpose, then this is contrary to the sunnah of the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So inshallah, from this week to next week, let us try and find our potential and unleash the magic within us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. And this brings me to the end of our program from me and my engineer Muhammad Saleem. Have a blessed week inshallah. May Allah be with you. Fi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.